Greetings in the most blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study on the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 9 was the introduction of the trumpet judgments. We have studied six trumpet judgments. The seventh trumpet judgment will come in chapter 11, verse 15. And then there will be a big gap before the vile judgments which God will pour down upon this earth in chapter 16. These little breaks or interludes are very significant and important. In this particular chapter for our consideration this afternoon, Revelation 10, why did God insert this and not continue with trumpet judgment number 7? One of the things that Christians desire the most on this earth is justice. Remember when we studied Revelation chapter 6 on the seal judgments, the saints in heaven who were killed because of their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and the defense of the Word of God, they cried to God only one prayer when they were in heaven. They have killed us. When will your justice fall upon them? Last time we met, we studied Revelation chapter 9. The heavens are never silent. The angelic beings, day and night, 24/7, non-stop, will be praising God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, except for 30 minutes, as recorded for us in Revelation chapter 8. Do you remember? 30 minutes of silence before the trumpet judgments began. And then there is this pause in chapter 10. What we studied in chapters 8 and 9 was what the saints in heaven prayed for: God's justice to come. And the judgment came. The people were punished. One third of the oceans, one third of the fresh water, one third of the vegetation, one third of the fresh air, and then intense pain for 5 months from the locusts that came out of the bottomless pit. And then one third of the world's population, those who had the mark of the beast, were killed. God wanted us as Christians to have the right attitude. When we see the judgment of God comes, it will come. You and I cannot prevent it. But God wants us to have the right attitude. Should we rejoice? Should we celebrate? Should we dance? Should we say, "Oh yeah, we are right, you are wrong"? Na, 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 na. That's what we like to do, isn't it? We have the last say, the last word. You did all this to us, serve you right. You deserve it. Every single bit of punishment from God. Can you imagine as you read chapters 8 and 9 what this world will be like when there is little food, little fresh air, little water? You think there will be cannibalism? Would you delight in the scream, the murmurs, the complaints of the wicked ones for all that they have done against the children of God for many centuries? Now the wrath of God has been poured down upon them. God wanted us as His children to react and respond like God when we see the judgment of God falls upon sinners. Chapter 10 is that chapter. Sweet to the mouth, bitter in the belly. Verse 1 to verse 4 reminds us of the certainty of God's judgment. It will come. We as Christians on earth must entrust the vengeance into the hands of God. Vengeance is the Lord's. And so we must refrain from all sorts of retaliation, no matter how much you may desire it, no matter how you may see that this kind of injustice seems to abound, and people who continue to do all sorts of wicked things, they seem to get away with it. Rest assured, God, your God, your Heavenly Father, will never allow them to, what you call, get away with it. Because if you think that they can hurt the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, who is God Almighty, and you think God will let them do that to us and get away with it? You think God is that kind of a judge? You think God is that kind of a Heavenly Father? He will just simply sit on his two hands and then allow his own children, who did not do anything wrong other than to obey the Father's will, to fulfill the Great Commission, to earnestly contend for the faith, and to give the gospel message to lost souls. And that's all they did. And then they were persecuted, they were hounded, they were imprisoned, and then they were killed. And you think God, the Heavenly Father, who had all power at his disposal, would just simply let them get away with it? He will never. That is why the first four verses of this chapter reminds us of the certainty of God's judgment. Let's see how God revealed that certainty to us. And I saw another mighty angel. Now some have perceived or interpreted these words, this particular angel, which the Bible here calls a mighty angel, as perhaps the Lord Jesus Christ. However, there is one word that is used here that seems to point to us that it is not the Lord Jesus Christ, and it cannot be the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be another angelic being. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that because of the word another. Do you remember in Galatians chapter 1 where the Apostle Paul warns us that we are to be careful not to preach another gospel which is not another that you have received from us? You see, in the Greek language, there is a word for another of a different kind which is called heteros, where we get heterosexual. So are you heterosexual? Yes or no? Yes, you and me are heterosexual. That means you are a man, you love a woman. An opposite of heterosexual is homosexual. You know what's homosexual? A man loving another man, similar to him. Heterosexual means I'm a man, I love someone who is not like me, different from me. So when the Apostle Paul warns us, another gospel, which means another gospel of a different kind, that you must avoid. You must not preach another gospel of a different kind. There is another word in Greek which is for the another of the same kind, like the word another comforter. Jesus says, I will send you another comforter. That means another comforter who is exactly like me. And that is the Greek word that is used here. Another angel, another mighty angel. That means another mighty angel of the same kind as the angels that have been discussed and revealed to us in chapters 8 and 9. Same kind. So therefore, it cannot be the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be another angel. But this angel is not like the other angels in terms of his ministry, but is same in terms of his disposition. Came down from heaven. Unlike the other with the trumpet judgments, this one ministered to John. It was not sent by God to punish the earth. It was sent by God to minister to John and to all of us so that we will have the right understanding, the right response and reaction, the right kind of feelings when the judgment of God falls upon this wicked world. Because if we don't, we would sin against God. This angel, clothed with a cloud, coming, riding on the cloud, is symbolic of judgment. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ coming down on a white horse, riding on the cloud, from the clouds? Symbolic of judgment. A rainbow was upon his head. Rainbow is a symbol of the covenant of God, where God promised Noah and the rest of the world that there will not be a judgment from God against this world by water ever again. And God kept his word. So it is judgment, at the same time, mercy. That's the rainbow. Mercy. And his face was, as it were, the sun, which means bright, brilliant, pure. Nothing that is dross can survive in the sun. His feet as pillars of fire, which symbolize holy judgment. Everywhere he goes, fiery feet, not the feet shod with the gospel of peace, which are the sandals, the shoes for the believers right now. But this angelic being is different. He comes with judgment that will be tempered with mercy. If these sinners will repent, they will receive the mercies of God. If they refuse, they will face the judgment of God. The fiery eyes that is like the sun tells us that this face of God will be without mistake. He knows exactly what he's doing. Sorry, not God, the angelic beings. I beg your pardon. And then his feet, pillars of fire, it will be holy judgment, and it will be based upon God's word, God's standard. Now, look at verse 2. In his hand, a little book. Open. Unlike the book in Revelation 6, sealed by seven seals. This one was already open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. That means this will be a global judgment, because this globe of ours is made up of only earth and sea, right? So if his one foot is on the sea, that means every creature on the sea will be judged by him. The other foot that is on the earth, every creature on the earth will be judged by him. None will be exempt from the judgment that this mighty angel that God sent from heaven, that will be sent by God to do one thing, and that is to judge this earth with holy, fiery judgment from God. And he cried with a loud voice, as with a lion roarer, that is very fierce, very authoritative, very loud. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Seven is the number of completion. They acknowledge it. That means it will be very fierce. It will not be like that of a lamb. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. John was about to record certain things based upon what he might have heard or might have seen, for whatever reason. And then the voice said from heaven to him, that is to John, to me, right? Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered. The word seal there means, close it up now, write them not, don't record them down. Now, we do not know the exact details, but John was told, don't write it down. Don't let the rest of the world see. Don't let them know. But they will be the judgments of God. These angelic beings will come. It will be global. It will take place as sure as you are seated in this sanctuary this afternoon. You can rest assured it will come. So don't gripe. Don't murmur and complain if you see injustice on this earth. Injustice will continue to abound on this earth. We are not talking about the injustices against crimes committed on this earth. The injustices that we find in the scriptures are targeted against believers who are on a mission from God. It is that kind of injustice that the Bible speaks of. Nothing else. And we are comforted that no one will escape. God Almighty will make sure of that. His judgment will fall upon this earth. All those who hinder the work of God, who try their best to destroy the children of God, they will not escape. So as children of God, don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. Initially, when Reverend Toh was evicted from the church that he had pastored for more than 50 years, the cry was injustice. When they evicted Far Eastern Bible College from using the sanctuary for our night classes, Reverend Toh says, let them. They will stop after this. Don't retaliate. Just quietly submit. So we use FEBC Hall. It was too small. Many students had to sit along the corridors. We didn't do anything. Then they forbid us from using the microphones inside FEBC Hall. Then every night before night classes, we have people to lay the lines in order to have a microphone. And every night at the end of the class, they would have to take everything down. And every night, they're going to put it up, take it down, put it up, take it down, put it up, take it down. That was not enough. The sanctuary was left in total darkness. Nobody was using it, but they won't let us use. They tried to inconvenience FEBC from teaching and preaching God's word as much as possible. The last straw was a letter threatening eviction. Trespassing. Within a certain date, you get out, or else. Then they started to change the locks of the FEBC hall, which had never been locked before. Things got from bad to worse. We did not do anything. We did not retaliate. We just simply received all the blows. No matter how inconvenient, we just continue to teach, continue to preach. There were little murmurs here and there, unjust, unfair. They continued to get away with it. This is a very, very normal response, isn't it? To see injustice and then to either take matters into our own hands or to say things like this, it is unfair. Why are the hands of God tied? Why did God allow these things to happen to God's people? All we wanted to do was to teach the word of God. Why don't they just leave us alone? They are not using the premises from Monday to Friday. The whole place is in total darkness. It's deserted, other than the kindergarten. Why? We wrote to them to ask them for some empty tables and chairs that they use for their office in the old block in 99 Gilstead Road. They moved over to the new block in 10 Gilstead Road for their fanciful, beautiful offices. Nicely air-conditioned. They refuse. So we have to just sit along the corridor to do our work. The office there with all the tables and chairs empty. They try their best. So what do? You murmur, complain, you sulk? Or do you just continue to do the work of God? Now that's all they are doing. They have not imprisoned us. We have not been required to shed any blood. Not yet. Unlike the apostles. Unlike Paul. Unlike the Apostle John in the Isles of Patmos in exile. The judgment of God is certain. God wants his children to guard their own heart, to guard their lips, to guard their mind, so that they know how to react and respond under these kind of dire, adverse circumstances. They will come, especially in these last days, and they will target God's people. It is Satan and the world against God and God's children. The seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent. That's as plain as the Bible has revealed to us right from the very beginning of time. And if we do not realize that, then we will respond in a sinful manner when we see injustices befall us. And God does not want us to do that. Verse 5 to verse 8, the second reaction that we have to take note of, that must come from us. Verse 5 to verse 8, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea, and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, the same mighty angel that is mentioned in verse 1, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Now this is God, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein. Now remember, this is a description of the scope of the wrath of God. Swear by him. Swear by whom? The name of God himself. That is the definiteness of the certainty of what he is about to say. That there should be time no longer. Time is short, in other words. Impatience is something that we all have received a doctorate in. Right? We are all PhDs in impatience. We are very impatient people, Singaporeans. You see how we queue up for food. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Slow, slow, so slow, so slow. It's been reported that many Singaporeans who go overseas, especially to some countries that are slow and easy, like Australia. Singaporeans queuing up, can't wait for the queue to move. Then when it's their turn, they want things to be given to them in double quick time. And so it has been reported to me that some of them went overseas, they get rebuked. What are you here for? Are you here to work on holiday? If you're on holiday, why are you rushing? Take it easy, slowly. Be patient. Right? That's us, isn't it? We drive, must hurry, hurry, hurry. Wait at the traffic light, change already. The car didn't move. Bah! Sometimes you ask yourself, why am I in a hurry? You have retired, you're no more rushing from one meeting to the next in your office, you're not going to work. All you do is to go home and read your newspaper. The newspaper is not going to run away. And you just simply impatiently drive your car and rush home to sit there and read your newspaper. Why do you rush? Somehow it's really built into us, you know, this rush, 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 rush. So you sit down. What am I rushing for? Impatience. God says, you wait for my time. My time. I know what I'm doing. God's timing is always the best. And when God's time comes for his judgment, the Bible says it will be no more. It will come. God's guarantee. My time. He is the name that the angels swear by. That means he deliberately invoked the name of God Almighty. And he deliberately qualified that he is the one who created all the creatures in the heavens, on earth, and in the oceans. And then he declared that there should be time no longer. No longer for what? No longer for these wicked people to get away with murder, to get away with their evil deeds. No more time for anyone to be saved. If you do not be saved right now. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns as the judge of judges, you stand before him to give an account of how you have lived this life. You cannot say to him on the day of judgment, I want to be a Christian now. It's too late. The day for salvation is right now before His return, because when all these things happen, it will be swift, it will be so chaotic, it will be so global, it will be so mind-boggling. Time will be no more for many of the things. No more time for service for those who are God's children. No more time for witness. Time is no more. That means there will be no more time on earth for the world. Time will come to an end. Do you know what that means? This world of ours, in this particular state, in this particular condition, where different parts of the earth are owned by different people whom we called nations, with our own system of government, with our own currency, whereby to travel from one to the next, you have to use a passport. Right? That time will also be no more. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, He's going to rule this earth, where the whole earth will become His kingdom alone. All your currencies, all your systems of government, everything that you are so used to today will become a thing of the past forever. It will be no more. That's what it means. This phrase, there should be time no longer. Literally, this time for man to rule, for man to exist, for man to repent, for man's system, for man, everything will be no more. Remember the great statue of Daniel chapter 2, where the kingdom of heaven is represented by a stone that is not made with the hands of man, and it will come and smash into the feet of this huge statue and grind it to dust, and this whole statue will just crumble and the wind will come and blow it away. Is that not a very vivid, symbolic picture of no more nations on earth? When the Babylonians were superseded by the Persians, who in turn were superseded by Alexander the Great, the Grecians, in turn the Romans, the statue still stands. And these nations remain. They cease to be superpowers, but they remain on this earth till today. Is that not true? You still have the Babylonians, they are the Iraqis. You still have the Persians, they are the Iranians. You still have the Greeks, they are still in Greece. You still have the Romans, they are still there. But when the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ comes, all these will be blown away, ground to dust. That's what it means. Time no longer. What time? Our time. Our time for service, our time for rule, our time, this time that God has given to us, will become no more. Do you understand how ominous that is? This world of ours is winding down for complete, total termination. Man will become presidents and kings no longer. You're not going to have any more nations. There'll be no distinctions. They're only called children of God, citizens of heaven. That's it. No more Singaporeans, no more Koreans, Japanese, Africans, Americans, Europeans. No more of these currencies, Euro and US. All these will become nothing. That's what it means. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when the final judgment comes, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. What mystery? Mystery would be the revelation of God that God had concealed, which he now will reveal. That will be the vow judgments that you're going to read subsequently in later chapters. As he had declared to his servants the prophets, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go, take the little book, these are imperatives, a command to John, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. You go there and you take this book. This book contains the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the revelations of God as judgment against this world. Because that's the purpose of this mighty angel coming, the way that he is described, speaks of the judgments of God. It is certain, time is short, it will be no more. What therefore ought to be your reaction when you go to work? Please don't occupy your mind with all the promotions and all these earthly accolades. Please. all the awards and rewards that the world could ever heap upon you, remember, it will be no more. You understand? All your certificates, all your MBA, all your masters, all your degrees, all these will become no more. Because when the institution who gave you all these papers disappear from the face of this earth, when you are now entrusted into a totally brand new environment, your currency will become a thing of the past. Some of us just came back from Greece a few days ago. We went with Dr. Jeffrey Koo on our first pilgrimage following the footsteps of the Apostle Paul in his second missionary journey. I tried to look at the monetary exchange in Greece. You know, they have a lot of those different currency, right? I had to look for Singapore money. Don't have. They don't even know where Singapore is. So how and why should they have Singapore currency? They have Japanese yen. They have all the other currencies, but no Singapore currency. You want to use your US dollar in heaven, your euro in heaven, your British pound in heaven? It's like that. God says, I don't know you, you know. What are you talking about? What kind of paper is this? What kind of awards? What kind of skills? Nothing, you know. So don't go to work motivated by earthly rewards and earthly promotions. They are literally smoke in the air. You know what is smoke in the air? When the wind blows, the smoke disappears. That's exactly what the rewards, the wealth and the gold and the silver and the rewards of this world must be to the believer. Nothing, absolutely useless. Time is short. Judgment is certain. And finally, verse 9 to verse 11, you continue to minister, but do it with compassion. Continue to minister. The world will do what they need to do. They will punish you. They will persecute you. They will do their best to retard the work of God. You just make sure that you plod on and you continue to do the work of God. You cannot control the actions and the words of others. You can control yours. And so you go out into the world. If you're a student, you go out to your area of ministry, which will be your schools. And you be the best Christian student you possibly can with God's help. Do your best. Not aiming for A's. Aiming for A's, that's not the measure of best. Best means you do it faithfully. Best from God's standard, not the world's standard, especially for parents. Please don't think that your children, when they come home with all kinds of A stars, they have been very good students. They are very good students if they bear a very good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, even if they get all F's. Do you know that? Do you know that or not? You mean there are no failures in this world? You mean you have never failed before in your life? We all have made mistakes. We all have failed in the realm of the world before. You just make sure you don't fail God in the spiritual realm. If you lie, if you cheat, if you stop reading the Bible, you stop praying, you stop going to church, you stop doing things for the Lord simply because of your exam, simply because of your children's study, what kind of message are you sending to your children? That what you and I do here every Lord's Day, the Bible, prayer, these are all things that will pass away. What will remain forever would be what you find on this earth. Is that the truth? Is that what you study from the scriptures? That is the total opposite, isn't it? What will last for eternity is what you do on Sunday. The study of God's word, your prayer, your worship with God's people. What will pass away, what is temporal, will be what you find in the world out there. Schooling, working, money, promotion, your homes, your cars, all these are temporals, right? Have a right sense of value. Use eternity as your yardstick to measure what is best for yourself and for your children. continue to do the work of God and minister with compassion. I went to the angel, John did, and he said, give me the little book as the Lord commanded him. And he went there and he took it. And then the angel said to him, eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And so he took the little book out of the angel's hand, he ate it up, and it was in his mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as he had eaten it, his belly was bitter. What does that mean? The moment he put this book in his mouth, to the mouth before you swallow, very sweet, like honey, very, very sweet. But the moment he swallowed it, when it went into the stomach, wow, very bitter. When the children of God see the wrath of God pour down upon this earth, the initial period, they will jump for joy. They'll be so happy and so delighted because finally the judgment, the justice of God will now befall upon these wicked men and women and children, right? But when you start to see the pain and the suffering of these wicked people, and in spite of all the punishment from God, remember what we read? The last part of chapter 9, verse 20, after God had killed one third of the earth, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. After all the devastation that God had inflicted upon this earth, with one third of total destruction, one third of the world's population died, they still refuse to repent. And that is the bitterness and the sadness that must come upon God's people. Sure, we are very happy that the justice of God has come, sweet to the mouth. But as we observe longer, as the little book gets swallowed into our stomach, that is only bitterness and sadness. No jumping for joy, no great celebration. How can there be celebration when we see sinners sent to hell? Only bitterness and great sadness. And that is the heart of God. God does not delight in seeing or sending anyone to hell, right? He revealed that to us. And God wants us to guard our own hearts, to make sure that even right now, even today, when you see the enemies of God, perhaps in ignorance, perhaps deliberately, they go against the work and the will of God, they will receive the judgment of God. God will deal with them. They will not escape. There is no joy in cases like this. There is no delight. Initially, yes, finally the judgment of God has come sweet for the moment. However, we know that there will be bitterness, sadness. You think all these people who had done what they did to Reverend Toh, to God's work, you think they will escape? Remember what David said to his men before he became king? He said to his men, no matter what King Saul did, you must not touch the Lord's anointed. Because anyone who touches the Lord's anointed will not be guiltless. You will not be guiltless. You will always be guilty. Before whom? Before the court of God. Before the court of man, oh, you escape. You have the connection, you have the power, but not the court of God. God knows exactly what He's doing. And you think God will not deal with each and every one of them? He will. You think we are going to have a big makan and celebrate? No. Only sadness. Because these people are not ignorant. They have sufficient knowledge from the Word of God to know better, to do what is right and pleasing in the sight of God. And God will deal with them. They will not escape. Sweet to the mouth, bitter to the belly. And that must be the heart of every child of God. When you think of the justice of God who will come upon some people that you may have encountered in your life, who had done a lot of unjust and evil things against you. You guard your heart. You make sure that you do not harbor any bitterness, any ill will, or any resentment against them. You guard your heart, because the moment you allow these sins to creep in, and you allow them to remain inside, you have sinned against God. Your prayer life will be in jeopardy. Your service for God cannot be based upon clean hands and a pure heart. You have succumbed to the ploy of Satan. And Satan would be the winner. You must guard your heart against the injustices that you are witnessing and some of you may have experienced. Some of them will be from people that you do not know. There are others who will come from people that you know. You might have even sat at the same table eating with them. These people who brought FEBC to court are not strangers. We had taught side by side before in FEBC. We had sat at the same dining table before. We had shared a meal before. We had prayed together before. But something happened. The Word of God became the dividing line where we were challenged whether we are more loyal to Jesus Christ and His truth or more loyal to our friends. If we jettison God's truth and become more loyal to our friends instead of to Christ, then we are saying that our friendship is more important than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that cannot be. That must not be. Because if we ever betray the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the precious, perfect Word of God to be undermined, to come under attack, we become ingrates. We cannot keep silent when someone says that the words of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, have mistakes. That would make my God an imperfect God. My Savior becomes an imperfect Savior. That must never be. You and I must defend according to Holy Scriptures. They will win for the moment, in inverted commas. They will get the bricks and the mortars for the moment. But at the end, rest assured that the judgment of God is certain. Time is short. Minister with compassion. And so the Lord said to John, and he said to me, thou must prophesy again. Don't stop before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Keep on serving. Don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. Don't ever stop. You persevere on. You remain steadfast, unmovable. You kept on serving wherever the Lord sends you, with grace, with mercy, with compassion, with the right heart condition. And don't take matters into your own hands. Vengeance is the Lord. It will come. God has given us His word. The time for service is short. It is now. If you are not a child of God, today is the day of salvation for you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, and thou shalt be saved. For God has accepted what Christ has done by raising Him from the dead for your justification. All you need to do is to sincerely confess Him from your heart, without condition, totally surrender your life to Him. And He will save you to the uttermost. Time is short for us to serve, for man to exist on this earth, in this particular world of ours. It is winding down, dear friends. It is coming to an end. Please see it. Parents, you have young children. You have an awesome responsibility. Don't just focus on their studies, please. Focus on their spiritual well-being. If they are old enough to read, to write, they are old enough to hear the gospel. Pray with them, tell them, share with them. Don't delay. For Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, We thank Thee, O Lord, for Your patience, for Your long-suffering in dealing with each and every one of us. Thank Thee, O Lord, for the word of everlasting life, for how Thou hast revealed to us the certainty of Your judgment, and time is short, for time will become a thing of the past so soon. And while we wait, O Lord, may Thou constrain us, Your blood-bought children, to continue to minister with compassion in our hearts. Though we desire to see the justice of God, may it always be tempered with mercy. Grant to us a heart of flesh, that we may understand the wrath of God upon these wicked sinners, and while we suffer the wrath of men for the sake of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, may we do so with clean hands and pure hearts, knowing that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and as our loving Heavenly Father, He will care for His own. He will never allow such injustices to escape Him, for they will each and every one of them answer to Him without fail. And when He does so, O Lord, may Thou teach us how we ought to respond. Bitter in the belly, sweet to the taste. This we ask, O Lord, with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.